This is an Enterprise Time Security podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here in Gothenburg with Fredrik Westerdahl of NTT Security.
I'm Senior Director of Threat Detection in the MSS organization of NTT Security.
We hear a lot about threat intelligence and whether companies should do it themselves or should they use an outside agency. What are the challenges that people face with threat intelligence?
I think there are a number of challenges, of course. Threat intelligence, it's a wide area. Certainly, I think companies, organizations should have their own abilities within threat detection, but I think it's impossible to do everything themselves. Obviously, working for an MSSP, I'm a bit biased, but since there are so many challenges, it makes sense to collaborate with someone who has a lot of resources and are focused on the area. I would say the answer is you need to do both. Intelligence, it's not only a matter of developing intelligence, you need to be able to consume it as well. And if you don't have any capabilities yourself, that's hard. You need to do it yourself, but you also should preferably collaborate with other organizations who are experts on it.
One of the challenges for organizations when they approach this area is the vast quantity of information that they start with. They struggle to refine that down, which is why many of them are more interested perhaps in passing it to a partner than doing it themselves. When you talk to a company about how it should start itself, what sort of tools and how do you get them to do that initial understanding of what data is important and what data isn't?
That is the big challenge, really, that it's so much information. And it's, I think, intelligence, the definition of that is that it's valuable to you. It's not just data. It's refined data that you can make use of. Otherwise, it's not intelligent. You need good tools, of course. It's a lot of information out there. Then you need skill sets to be able to use those tools and develop them in a meaningful way for your organization. Most organizations don't have resources to develop their own tools. That's many times too difficult. Then you need to acquire something. But that's also not easy because it's hard to know if a commercial product will give you what it says it will. The advice would really be it depends on your organization. What resources do you have and where do you think you can utilize them best?
The first part of that challenge for them is reducing down the amount of information that they can gather from different log files. And on the face of it, it's simply a big data challenge that they should be able to apply their internal data scientists on to come up with algorithms. How often, in your experience, do companies start at that point, or do they overcomplicate what they're trying to do?
Many times it starts as a project. They think maybe too big, so they want all data sources available. They start to collect all logs from all systems. Basically never get beyond that, because that is super difficult in an organization. It's not that if you talk about security intelligence, threat intelligence, it's normally perhaps the security department or the security team who is responsible for that. But they cannot control all stakeholders, all the business owners, everything. You can go on for years. I've seen examples of that where you just continue to try to collect all the logs and you never get down to actually do something with them. I would recommend to actually get some selected logs, get some selected sources of information that you actually start to work with and get something out of that. I think it's much easier to do it that way. You get more value out of it rather than to think too big and never get to the point.
When you say selected logs, what exactly? From firewalls or from domain servers or from application logs? Which logs are the key that they should be starting with?
We many times say that there are dedicated products, security products, who are built to detect security threats. It makes sense to have a few of those. For some organizations, that's where it starts. They don't even have that. They need to start with that. But I think it's actually a good idea to do that. But of course, firewalls, a lot of organizations have that. Yes, you should take your firewall log. Many times that only shows what had been blocked, for example. You see what you weren't really affected by. It gives you some idea about what you're exposed to, but not really what you were hit by or affected by. So more intelligent log types or security products, such as intrusion detection systems, for example, which is a technology that's been around for decades almost. But it's still, if you only can invest in one security technology, it's not a bad choice, actually. But then we have a sandbox type of products that are even more sophisticated. Maybe you want a little bit of that as well. But maybe not invest all your budget on that only. But to complement that with typically a very, very good source of detection is web proxies. Many attacks today are launched through the end users, the clients. A lot of that is through web-based attacks. if you have that information and can apply intelligence to that, you normally get a lot out of that. So that's a good thing. But it's equally important to not only think about which log types do I incorporate, but also maybe in an organization you have a geographical distribution. You don't have all your traffic go out through one internet breakout, for example. So you must not forget that if you add one type of log source, but you don't do it from your entire organization, you may have gaps. A lot of those design issues are important to consider in the start.
How much more complex does that get when people start to think about cloud, when they have business units go off and buy an application from outside that IT doesn't really know where it is and therefore can't actually gather logs from it?
That's a big challenge, and we've had cloud for some time now. But as always, security is normally not the first thing that is considered. It comes second or third or even later. That's a challenge. And also not only because you outsource your systems to a cloud provider, but also if you're outsourcing your IT infrastructure, you face the same challenge that if you haven't put that into your requirements from the start, it can be hard to get the data out from your provider. So even if it's your own environment, you're not running it yourself, you face the same problem. There is no easy way to solve that except to get it into the contract that you want access to logs from your environment.
If we make the assumption they've managed to find the right logs and they've managed to import them into a database they can work with, the next challenge comes deciding on what is really a threat and what is just normal data. Much of that isn't going to be knowledge they will have internally. Where do they start going in terms of external sources? Are there places on the internet they can actually use to compare the data with, or is that where a partner comes in?
There is a lot of information and knowledge out on the internet, but it's time consuming to get all that knowledge. It's not something that you just learn overnight. It's sort of a lifelong journey you're on to stay updated and so on. From my point of view, of course, since that's what I work with, that's where for many organizations it makes sense to use an external partner to actually do that, because it's very specific. You need, again, good tools to be able to do it. It's so much information. Knowing what to look for is not enough. You need to have the proper equipment to find it. To say know what you look for, it's also, there's a lot of nuances into that. It's not something that is easily described in just a few papers. I think for many organizations, it's really, really difficult to do it themselves. But of course, some organizations, they think it's core, they want to invest in it, and of course you can build that. But you need a team. It's not possible to rely on one person. They're too vulnerable, I think.
One of the challenges when you've got large quantities of data and you're struggling to understand it is if you want to give that to a partner to work with, that's a lot of data to move over the internet. When you're engaging with customers, how do you manage to keep that volume of data down so that you're dealing with effective data, not all the noise?
The way we do it is that we have what we call on-prem solutions. Typically, if the log volumes are so huge, it doesn't make sense to ship them around over internet. We have that kind of architecture that we provide, and we apply the logics close to the data source, which makes the data streams that we need to transfer to us much, much smaller. It's not a problem. That's how we have solved it, to actually have the detection close to the data source, which is with the customer. It can be in their own data center or a data center they're utilizing.
We hear a lot about the use of artificial intelligence to help speed some of this up, but artificial intelligence needs to be trained. If it doesn't know what is correct and what is wrong, if it doesn't know that's a malware attack and that's just a bit of rubbish internet traffic, it can't make the right decision. Is it sensible to assume that companies are able to build their own machine learning AI environments to do this? Or is the technology still so immature, really, they need to be looking for other experts in the area?
There are vendors coming now who offer products in the area. To build it yourself, I think there will be few organizations doing that. They will probably try to buy a product that can offer detection based on artificial intelligence. And I think there's been these kind of products around for a long time, even the early antivirus software who has this heuristic detection and so on. It's on the same line, that you don't base things on pattern matching, but something else, something more intelligent. But then you have the challenge that you need to train the machine. It's difficult without doing that. Yes, if it's artificial intelligence, pure definition of artificial intelligence, you don't need that perhaps because the machine is so intelligent that it trains itself. That's not where we are at the moment. It's machine learning. You train the machine to do something smart within a narrow area. What we've seen, the way we have, and we are utilizing that more and more in our detection algorithms, the way we've made that to be efficient is to actually utilize the manual analytics, the manual verifications done by the SOC. Some of the machine learning algorithms we are having is utilizing that we actually have manual analysts or human analysts who are doing verifications. Mm-hmm. So it's trained by the analyst, so to speak, even though the analyst doesn't need to think about it because it harvests its findings and can increase the detection based on that.
So effectively, we're not looking at it as making the decision, but being a decision support solution.
We are using it in two different ways. We have different flavors of our services depending on customer needs. So we have some threat detection services that are automatic. It's not human analysts who have verified them. Of course, it's a more simple service and it cannot detect as much as we can with the human validated incident reports. But the accuracy of that service is actually utilizing that we are having other customers who have the humanly verified incidents. But we are also, of course, utilizing that technology to help the analysts on the manual service to also get support in their decision making. It is valuable for us if the analyst, once someone has made an investigation and come to a conclusion, that everyone can benefit from that and don't need to do the same investigation over and over again. So yes, we are doing both.
How do you make that loop work? Because one of the challenges at the moment is that while we're using artificial intelligence and machine learning to cut down the quantity of data and present to the analyst, here's a set of possibilities for you to further investigate, capturing what the analyst actually does to make that final decision isn't a simple process. How mature is the process for taking that final step from the analyst, feeding it back to the machine learning AI environment so that the next time around it makes a slightly better decision?
For us, it's not one thing we do. Mm-hmm. We do it in many different ways, which I think is a good approach. There is never one silver bullet that you can rely on. We're doing it in many different ways. I mentioned the algorithm that is harvesting all verified incidents that analysts have verified and combine that with alerts coming in and come up with a list of reliable signatures. And that can also help the analyst. But it's done in other ways as well. We also believe that we need to iteratively improve the detection. It's small steps. We rarely see the big bang. So we do it in a lot of different projects. Many times, an analyst who works with detecting incidents get ideas that, actually, if I could see this data in this and this way, if this could be presented for me, I would have an easier decision making. The analyst could get some time to develop a small proof of concept. And if we see that it works good, we can incorporate that to the engine. That's typically how we do it. And that's when the development team can step in and apply machine learning type of algorithms onto that.
If a new customer was to come to you today and say, we want to do threat intelligence, but we're worried about the amount of data, we don't have the skills in-house, where should we start? What would you say to them?
I would say to actually engage a good partner. But be cautious, because it's not as easy just to buy threat feeds. Mm-hmm. You need to do more. Don't expect some feeds will solve your problem. You can buy that and you will get something out of it, but it's probably not what you're looking for if you talk about threat intelligence. Mm-hmm. It's only a small part of it. Be cautious and evaluate your potential partners and try to make them prove what they can deliver. Do a small proof of concept and see, does this actually give us what we want? Again, start small rather than think too big from the start.
Frederick, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.